الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاثة أشياء، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, one glaring, inescapable reality of your and my existence in this world, that which we are constantly reminded about, alamat, signs, indications of it, are brighter than daylight in front of us. And yet, paradoxically, ironically, majority of humanity, with regards to this undeniable, stark reality, are in fact living their existence as if this is just some theory or idea. What I am referring to is the stark, undeniable reality of the temporary nature of your and my life in this world. Mata'un qaleel, ayyaman ma'dudat, kasarabin biqi'a, yahsabuhu adh-dham'anu ma'a. Even if we don't understand Arabic, we can see the tone my Allah uses in the Quran when the life of this world is described. Mata'un qaleel, something that is very, very small, very temporary, very, very short. I'alamu annama alhayatu ad-dunya la'ibun wa lahwun wa zina wa tafakhurun bainakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad kamathali ghayth a'jaba al-kuffara nabatuh ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. Verse upon verse of the Quran. And this is that kalam. We can be in denial. We can live our existence and go against the reality that the Quran is sounding out. But the verses of the Quran, which I mentioned in the khutbah in the beginning, these are the opening verses of the Quran, where Allah calls out to the entire humanity, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. This is a book. This is a revelation. This is Kitabullah. This is Kalamullah. And the first dictate and command of this Quran, لَا رَيْبَ فِي. لَا رَيْبَ فِي. Pick up a commentary, pick up some tafsir, or pick up a translation. What will you read? This is the book, there is no doubt in it. I often mention this, but it's worthy of reminding us. Translations can never do reality to the Quran. Because the Arabic language, this is Lisanul Jannah, Lisanul Quran, Lisanul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the language of Jannah, the language of the Quran, the language of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the chosen language. Many may try to purport that English is a very rich language. They say somebody is speaking the Queen's English. Somebody is an Oxford University graduate. But compared to Arabic, for example, if you look at the word sword, in English sword, in Arabic there are 4,000 different words for sword. Doubt also. La rayba fi, English, no doubt in it. There are levels of doubt. For example, sometimes you have doubt, very high level of doubt, 60-40. If you want to put it into percentage. That in Arabic is not rayb. That in Arabic is shak. Bal hum fi shakkim minha. Bal hum minha amun. Then there is a slightly lesser level of doubt. Call it 80-20. That in Arabic is mirya. Fala taku fi miryatim minha. Then there is a very, very slight, infinitesimal, almost negligible level of doubt. Call it 98-2%. You're 100% certain about something. Sometimes slight doubt enters your mind. That in Arabic is called rayb. ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. Allah says, this is the Quran, this is the book. What is the weight of this kalam? One riwayat, it is mentioned that if the Quran had to be revealed in its original form, Allah's kalam, Allah's sifat, Allah's quality, if it had to be revealed in its original form on the Lawh-e Mahfuz, the protected tablet, that makhluk of Allah, which is equal in size to the length between the heavens and the earth, that makhluk and creation of Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his mubarak eyes, he saw it. And he said, I have never seen, mafhum of the riwayat, anything so beautiful. It cannot even be described, such a massive creation of Allah. The protected tablet, the Lawh-e Mahfuz. Ulama say, if the Quran had to be revealed in its original form, not this written form that we have, the Lawh-e Mahfuz would not be able to bear the weight of the Quran. This is that kalam. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah says, if we are to reveal this Quran on a mountain, one is your and my parable or example. Reveal it on a mountain, the mountain will be crushed. The mountain will not be able to bear the weight. Allah doesn't say that. What does my Allah say? La ra'aytahu. In other words, this is decreed. This is something you can't doubt. This is a reality. The weight of this kalam is such that if it had to be revealed on a mountain, you will see that mountain crushed out of the fear of Allah. Such a kalam. Such a Quran. ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. This is the book. La raiba fi. Scientists can say whatever they want. So far as the origin of man, they may say, they may have put forward this theory that we were a naked makhluk running around. Once we were monkeys, then we evolved and became human beings. So far as gender is concerned, they can present a convoluted understanding. This is a male, this is a female. And nowadays you get transgender and you can't figure out what is what or who is who. So far as the reality of life is concerned, they can map out your existence for you. Success is degrees, success is wealth, success is the size of your bank balance. Doesn't matter if you lie, doesn't matter if you cheat, doesn't matter if you trample upon the rights of others. Amass the wealth of this world, the whole world will look up to you and they'll put you on a pedestal. All sorts of theories and ideas can be put forward by humanity and by the tools of batil. A tide of theories and ideas that are stripping away from humanity the very essence of what a human being is. So that today it's hard to discern between what is the life of an animal and what is the life of a human being. Zina, sharab, intermingling, shamelessness, immodesty, agnostic beliefs. There is a tide of zulmat and darkness that is drowning humanity from every direction. When Allah introduces this kalam, each human being, particularly the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being commanded by Allah that your preparation to accept this Quran, your preparation to be worthy of this Quran, your preparation to be drowned in the nur of this Quran, in the huda of this Quran, in the shifa of this Quran, in the rahmat of this Quran, in the love of this Quran, in the mercy of this Quran, in the protection of this Quran. The first, inescapable, undeniable, irreconcilable dictate and demand of this Quran is that from inside, if you consider yourself to be of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you consider yourself one upon whom this Quran was revealed to, one upon whom this Quran is directed to, then from inside, Darwin can say whatever he wants, media can say whatever they want, Oxford University, Harvard University, so-called archives of intelligence of humanity can say whatever they want. The forces of batil can say whatever they want. The reciter of the Quran, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to whatever my Allah has said in this Quran, what is a male, what is a female, what is right, what is wrong, what is success, what is failure, what is the origin of man, what is the purpose of your life, what is dignity in this world, what is honor in this world, what is status in this world, what is the reality of death, what is going to happen in the qabr, what will happen in hashar, what is jannat, what is jahannam. Everything anyone wants to say on one side, what my Allah has said from inside. You want this Quran, you want its nur, you want its hidayat, you want its shifa, you want its mercy, you want its benefit, you want to become a companion of this Quran, you want to become a man of the Quran, you want to rise up with this Quran from inside. Prepare yourself to have this perfect, complete, undeniable determination that the Quran is the absolute truth and there is no doubt in it. Anything that has come into conflict with this Quran, whether it's the media, whether it is that shaitan box TV that is destroying the iman of the ummah in their homes, whoever, wherever, whatever, in conflict with this Quran, my Allah has spoken the truth and every one of them is a liar. La rayba fi, there is no doubt in this Quran. This muzakara, my respected brothers, may sound simple, but this is the challenge of life. This is the requirement of the Quran, the first requirement, because look at the link in the Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. There is absolutely no doubt in it. And what does my Allah say immediately after that? This Quran is hidayat. What is hidayat? What is hidayat? Unfortunately, majority of us, we don't even ask ourselves this question, what is hidayat? Every rakat of every salah, we are commanded by Allah. This is the one dua. Allah hasn't made it farz. Allah has not made it compulsory upon you to ask for air. Without air, you'll die. Without food, you'll die. Without water, you'll die. Without the basic necessities of life, you will die. My Allah has not made it compulsory for you to ask from Allah any of those things. The one thing that Allah has made compulsory upon every reciter of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, to make dua for is hidayah. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ لَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ My Nabi said, without Surah Fatiha, there is no salah. And Surah Fatiha, in that Surah Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Ya Allah, not only me, Ya Allah, give me, give my wife, give my children, give my mother, give my father, give my family, give my relatives, and give the whole humanity hidayat. We are begging and asking Allah for hidayat. What is hidayat? Many explanations. Understand it. One explanation, very simple. If you look at this word, hidayat, it comes from the root word. Amongst the root words that the ulama have mentioned, one is they say hadiyah. Hadiyah means a gift. A gift. Hidayat, the gift from Allah, which will map out the road for you and I to enter into Jannah. Another explanation they give for hidayat, they say Quran was revealed first upon whom? Amongst the Arabs. Some of them used to travel on the ocean. That time they would use the stars for guidance. A ship that is traveling in the ocean, now and then, obviously they didn't have GPS and satellite dishes, and they didn't have navigational systems. So how would they find out which direction to go? We find that in the ocean, like on the earth, Allah has created mountains. In the ocean also there are mountains. Some of those mountains, their peak, the top of the mountain, rises above the water. In those days, these mountain peaks of the ocean that would rise above the water, these served as navigational instruments. If they were traveling towards Jeddah, they were looking for a certain mountain peak. Traveling towards Yambu, a certain mountain peak. If they got this wrong whilst traveling in the ocean, it was halakat, destruction. Why? They would go into the ocean, never find land, and eventually drown and come to an end. So this was an absolutely vital piece of navigation that they used. These mountain peaks of the oceans. One of the translations of hidayat is that the word hidayat refers to a mountain that is used for navigation in the ocean. Success, reaching your destination, you had to get that right. If you didn't get it right, you will perish and you will come to an end. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Hadiyah, hidayat, find the correct direction. And what is the correct direction? Ulama explained, the Quran that was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find this and you will reach your destination. Lose this and you will perish and you will be destroyed forever. Another explanation of hidayat. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ What is hidayat? Ulama say, hidayat is nur. Hidayat is nur. Hidayat is light. You and I, externally for us to see, we need light. If this Masjid Hilal, all the lights switched off and it became pitch dark, what is in front of you also you won't be able to see. Externally, you need light. Allah created the sun, Allah created the moon, Allah created the stars. This is a long bahas, not my intention to go into details. For external light, for you and I to see, internally, this heart also needs nur. It needs a light. If this heart is lit up, then through that light, you will be able to determine the truth from falsehood. Simple example, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, daily he had a slave. That slave would do some work and he would bring his earnings to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A small portion of it Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would utilize. One day he was very, very hungry. Normally he would ask that slave, from where did you procure whatever you brought, these earnings? Where did it come from? If it was halal, he would consume it. If it was haram, Abu Bakr would stay away from it. That day, inadvertently, he forgot to ask. He was very, very hungry. So he started eating. Then the slave asked him, that Abu Bakr, today you didn't ask me where I got this from. So to cut the incident short, he said, tell me, I was very, very hungry. This is why I overlooked asking you. He said that in the old days, I belonged to someone else. And I'm cutting the incident short for storytelling. What they call Najumi, stargazers. That was my work before. So I was a fortune teller. I told some people their fortune, they got very happy with me, and they owed me a certain stipend in payment for fortune telling. In other words, these earnings were totally, completely haram. What was the reaction of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Today the temptation for riba is there, the temptation for lies is there, the temptation for bribery is there, the temptation to do somebody down is there. We have become a living embodiment of that example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. He said, a time will come upon my ummah, they will not care where the wealth is coming from, whether it is halal or haram will not matter to them. As long as the coffers are being filled. This is why in every direction it is the usurping of the rights of people. Lies, treachery, riba, breaking Allah's commands in one earning and one livelihood has become the order of the day, and we want to know why is the ummah suffering? Why are du'as not being accepted? Allahu Akbar. I'm digressing, time is limited. One sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was known among Sahaba. There are a lot of youngsters in this gathering. This is the reason I'm mentioning these incidents. Your whole life is in front of you. What are the choices that you are going to make? What are you going to consider to be valuable? Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known among Sahaba, that he was mustajabud da'wat. That whenever he raised his hand, it was almost as if he had a direct link with the arsh of Allah. Any dua he would make would immediately be accepted by Allah. Once it comes that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I desire an tustajaba da'wati, that whatever dua I make should be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Nabi told him, Sa'd, I am going to give you one nuska, one prescription. Follow this and whatever dua you make immediately will be accepted by Allah. What did my Nabi tell him? Wake up every night in tahajjud. Fast every day. Sit in the masjid from morning till night. No. What did my Nabi tell him? Atib mat'amak. Atib mat'amak. Sa'd, make sure your earning is halal. Make sure whatever you consume is halal. Tustajaba da'watuk. Every dua you make will be accepted immediately by Allah. Somebody, one day they asked him, Sa'd, how is it that you are known among Sahaba, that whatever dua you make, your duas are immediately accepted? He said, Ma rafatu ila fami lukma. I have never lifted one morsel of food to my mouth except that I know with absolute certainty where I earned it from and where it came from. Then only I will raise it to my mouth. He said, that is the prescription of I. My du'as are immediately accepted by Allah. Coming back to this incident when Abu Bakr hears this. Allahu Akbar. This is nur. This is that nur that is inside. The nur of hidayat. That nur that you and I should be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Puts his hand into his mouth. tries to force the vomit, try to force those morsels that he consumed out of his body. He's unable to do so. Why? Physiology. Those who understand a little bit of biology, when you are very, very hungry and you eat, then very quickly the body starts absorbing it. Allah has designed the body like that. So it's difficult to vomit out what you just consumed. Why? He was very, very hungry. So someone saw Abu Bakr, what he was doing. They said to him, consume a lot of water, drink a lot of water, then perhaps you will be able to get it out. So he starts drinking water upon water upon water and keeps on forcing himself till eventually he is able to vomit out that which he had consumed. Someone told him, Abu Bakr, you behaved in such a manner as if you would have lost your life in trying to take out that morsel. He said, I have heard from the lips of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu lahmin nabata min suht kanatin naru awla bihi. Any flesh of any body that has been nourished or produced from haram, Jahannam has a greater right upon it. Abu Bakr said, by the qasam of my Allah, I would have died first, but I would not have allowed those morsels to remain in my body. What was this? The noor of hidayat. The noor of hidayat. The noor of the Quran. The first requirement. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. That dua which is first. Hidayat. My and your need. My and your requirement. What Allah commands us with. Great source of it. Allah has said, Quran is hidayat. Quran is hidayat. Quran is hidayat. But the first condition, لا ريب في, for this Quran to become hidayat, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, is from inside this total complete conviction that there is absolutely no doubt in this kalam. Second requirement, one is the conviction of the Quran, that the Quran is haq, there is absolutely no doubt in it whatsoever. This, my respected brothers, is a muzakara before starting Hifz of Quran. Before starting your effort of the Quran. Before starting to learn the Quran. From inside, remove that dirt. Remove that doubt. Remove any element of doubt whatsoever. And prepare this heart. Repeat this over and over again. وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَا وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. This Quran is haq. This Quran is haq. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. There is absolutely no doubt in the Quran. The Quran is such. This, my respected brothers, is the solution. Solution to Darwin's theory. Solution to agnostic belief. Solution to atheism. Solution to the tide of shamelessness that is there around us. Solution to the temptation towards haram in this world is this total, complete conviction of the Quran. And with that, the azmat of Allah, the azmat of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the majesty of Allah, the glory of Allah, like Allah is limitless. Akbar min kulli kabir, aqwa min kulli qawi, a'z min kulli aziz, a'zam min kulli azim, ajal min kulli jaleel. Greater than anything with greatness, more majestic than anything with majesty, more glorious than anything with glory, more powerful than anything with power, more mighty than anything with might. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهُ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Drown yourself in the azmat and greatness and majesty of Allah. Learn to speak about Allah. Learn to invite towards Allah. This is not some prescription of the Tabligh Jamaat. This is not some group, work of some jamaat or organization, my respected brothers, from a young age, develop this jazba, develop this zeal, speak about Allah, invite towards Allah, ponder on the greatness of Allah. This is when the nur of Quran will come. This is when the reality of Quran will come. One incident, time is very, very limited. Allama Tastari, rahimahullah. Allahu Akbar. He was 3 years of age. What was his age? 3 years. He woke up one night. His maternal uncle saw that my nephew is awake. Uncle was making tahajjud salah. When he saw this little child is awake, he called the child, addressed him, and he said, listen, say this. Allahu Shahidi. Allahu Ma'i. Allahu Nazirun Ilayya. Allah is with me. Allah is looking at me. Allah is my companion. Allama Tastari says, I used to repeat this 6 or 7 times, then 8, then 14 times, then 21 times. He says, a few weeks passed like this. My uncle would wake up for tahajjud, I would wake up and I would recite this, Allahu Shahidi, Allahu Nazirun Ilayya, Allahu Ma'i, pondering over the sifat and the attributes of Allah. This is why, this is not some prescription of the Tabligh Jamaat, this is a cry of our kabirin and elders. Link and attach yourself to the halqa of ta'aleem in the masjid. Establish the halqa of ta'aleem in the home. Mother, father and children sit together, take out time every day, 15, 20 minutes, doesn't have to be more than that. Read the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the seerah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the investment. These are the seeds that you are going to plant for our akhirat. Little child, look at this environment. Today, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, what is happening in the homes? Someone is in the internet, shaitan box, shamelessness, zulmat and darkness has entered the home. Such instruments, husband and wife are sharing one bed, husband is making zina with someone, wife is making zina with someone else. Look at the loss the ummah has incurred. What was our night supposed to be? What was the night of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, when referring to Hafiz al-Quran, he said, it is appropriate, it is a demand, it is a demand, it is a dictate of your attachment with the hifz of Quran, that your night cannot be like the night of others. Your night has to be anointed with the nur of talking to Allah. My Nabi, the first revelation after he was informed that he is the Nabi of Allah, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded, get up at night, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Qur'an. He would say, Inna shahwati fi qiyamil layl. Allah has kept my ecstasy in tahajjud salah. Allahu Akbar. Coming back to this, this is the example of the homes of Sahaba, the homes of Tabi'een. 3-year-old child, Allahu Shahidi, Allahu Nadirun Ilayya, Allahu Ma'i. When the tarbiyat started like this, he says, just a few weeks passed, my uncle asked me, oh my nephew, now that you are saying this, what is happening? He says, 3-year-old child. He says, oh my uncle, I can taste the sweetness of Allah's name on my tongue. I can taste the sweetness of Allah's name on my tongue. Same Allama Tastari. Like I said, time is limited. I'm not going into detail. Same Allama Tastari. Many years later, now he is an adult. Someone says, I saw him reading Tahajjud Salah. I came and stood behind him. I said, Allahu Akbar. Allama Tastari was reciting Surah Dahar. Surah Dahar is that surah of the Quran where Allah describes Jannat Ra'yul Ayn, as if you are seeing Jannat. Time is limited, I'm not going to go into detail. 18 ayats, 18 verses of Surah Dahar, explicit, beautiful description of Jannat Allah gives. Stages of Jannah, and I'm digressing. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innaha jinan, O my ummat, it is not one jannat, there are many jannats. How many? He meant many stages of Jannah. How many? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't mention. How many stages? Ulama, amongst the akabirin, They have looked at this question. How many stages in Jannah? They've given various opinions. One beautiful opinion, they say the stages of Jannah are equivalent to the number of verses in the Quran. Why? Allah will say to the Hafiz al-Quran, Allah will say to the Hafiz al-Quran, Iqra wartaqi, Iqra wartaqi, فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. One of the virtues that Allah will give to the Hafiz al-Quran is Allah will say to him on the Day of Judgment, read now. And for read now, and as you read, rise in Jannah. Rise with each verse, rise. What is your status, your position in Jannah? The last verse that you are going to read. You are going to reach that stage in Jannah. So some ulama say the stages of Jannah are equivalent to the number of the verses of the Quran. إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نَهْرًا إِسْمُهُ رَيَّان عَلَيْهِ مَدِينَةٌ مِّن مَرْجَان لَهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ بَابٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ وَفِضَّةٍ لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, in Jannah, there is one stream. Its name is Rayyan. Above it is the palace called Marjan. Marjan will have 70,000 doors made out of gold. لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah has prepared this palace for the one who has linked and attached himself to the Quran. This is the investment. The hadith I mentioned in the beginning. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَتَى عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. When a person dies, his till stops. What till? Like I said, Quran tells us this life is temporary. There is another life that is coming. It's a different matter that majority of us are in denial. Mort we are running away from, chasing behind this dunya. Reality, Quran opens up. Don't be deceived. This life is temporary. The real home is the home of akhirat. However, this short space we have to earn for akhirat, to earn for akhirat, your till to earn for akhirat stops when you die. Except three avenues. Three avenues. My Nabi said, you will go into your grave, these three avenues of earning will carry on. What are they? عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. That knowledge of deen, which you disseminated, anything you taught any person, anything you taught any person, any ilm, any knowledge of deen, as long as he will practice, he teaches someone else, you are in your qabr, you will be earning. Sadaqatin jariya, sadaqatin jariya. The second is sadaqah jariya, that way you will be in your qabr, you will still keep earning. And the third, waladin salihin yad'u lahu. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the third avenue of earning, the third avenue of earning is that child, pious child, pious child, pious child that will make dua for you. Doctor, lawyer, engineer, all that is in his place. Astrophysicist, all that is in his place. Today, that house where the child failed in his exam, it's almost like a janazah has happened in that house. Did my children wake up for Fajr Salah? Were they with me in the masjid? At the time of Fajr, my son or daughter, are they reading Yasin Sharif? What is the situation in my home? Wallah, my respected brothers, a day is coming, a day is coming, a medan is coming. There we will realize the value of this. سَوْفَ تَرَى إِذَنْ كَشَفَتِ الْغُبَارِ أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمِ الْحِمَارِ. Like the poet says, soon you will see when the dust settles whether you are riding an ass or whether you are riding a horse. Soon you will see the reality. What is the actual earning? Bayy Abdul Wahab Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah fill his qabr with noor. He said, today parents, we've only, the primary fikr is what? Inheritance. Primary fikr is to ensure the financial stability and future of our children. Many times at the expense of deen, earning, running behind the dunya, so that the father got no time, mother got no time for the tarbiyat of their children. He says, die in such a condition that you have left so much wealth, so much wealth, so much wealth, that for the next 5 generations, ostensibly, your children don't have to earn. You have left them with the wealth of this world. But, you did not instill in the heart of that child that 2 rakat salah, 2 rakat salah, 2 rakat salah is more valuable than the 7 heavens and the 7 earths and everything that it contains. Bible of Sahib Rahmatullah, you should say, I take qasam on Allah, you have left your child bankrupt. You have left your child bankrupt. You have deserted. You have abandoned your child. And that same wealth, that child will use it to break the command of Allah. What is the earning? This is the earning. وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ. Those pious children that you will leave behind. That time that father, that mother is struggling, waking up every morning, bringing the child to the masjid, bringing them to the environment of deen, bringing them to learn Quran. Environment in the home of Quran, the seeds that we are planting. Allah, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh, very briefly I'll mention one incident in his kitab. He mentions, he says, Mutarrik bin Shikhir rahmatullah alayh was a very pious person. One night he's sleeping, it's a Thursday night, night of Jumu'ah. In his dream, he sees a qabristan. All of a sudden, the residents of the grave wake up. Opposite to the qabristan, there is a field in which he sees white objects that look like pearls. All the residents of those graves rush across and they start collecting these pearls as much as they can. One person is relaxing, sitting against the tree, is not doing anything. Mutarrif bin Shikhir says, I approached this person. I asked him, by what's going on? He says, you see all those white pearls, that is Isale Sawab, that the living have sent for the deceased. They are rushing because they need it to collect as much as they can. Why are you relaxing? Why are you not doing what they are doing? Allah bless me with a pious son. Every day my son makes one khatam of the Quran, which he makes Isale Sawab for me. I don't need what they need. Where is your son? He said, my son is in a certain bazaar. He's got a sweetmeat shop. Takes the description. Next day, Mutarrif bin Shikhir rahmatullah alayh goes to that marketplace, looks around, finds this youngster, sees him selling sweetmeat and his lips are moving all the time. Approaches him and says to him, what are you doing? Your lips are moving all the time. He says, my father made great qurbani and sacrifice in order for me to acquire the knowledge of deen. Every day I make one khatam of the Quran and make isale sawab for my father. Few years later, same Thursday night, same dream, Mutarrif bin Shikhir. The graves open up. Now that person is also running. Next day, Mutarrif bin Shikhir goes to that marketplace, looks around and finds out that that youngster has passed away. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. My Nabi said, the tills of akhirat will terminate at death. One avenue, وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ. Pious children. This nisbat with the Quran, this nisbat with the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back to that incident, Surah Dahar, Allama Tastari rahimahullah is reciting Surah Dahar. Allah describes Jannat, the darajat of Jannat. Finally, the accolade. No time to go into details, we've already run out of time. Wasaqahum. رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. نعيم رحيق. Allah Ta'ala, different places in the Quran describes different drinks of Jannat, different streams of Jannat. Somewhere rahiq, somewhere tasneem, somewhere naseem. Different streams in Jannat. And Jannat streams are not like our streams in this world. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذُنُّونَ. Once Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, أَنَّ أَنْهَارَ الْجَنَّةُ أُخْدُودٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He says, maybe you people think that like how rivers and oceans are sunk into the earth, the rivers and streams of Jannat are also ukhdudun fil ard, sunk into the earth. He says, la, walakinnaha sa'ihatun ala wajhil ard. Ihda khafateha lu'lu, wal-akhar al-marjan, watinuhu al-miskil asfar. He says, the streams and rivers of Jannat are not sunken into the earth, they are flowing above the ground. One side is pearls, one side is emeralds, and the sand underneath that stream which is flowing above the ground is of musk. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, mustakaffatun. This is not logical. If water is flowing above the ground, it should overflow. Yet, Abdullah bin Abbas says, mustakaffatun. It is locked. La tafidu ila hahuna wa la ila hahuna. It doesn't overflow this side, it doesn't overflow that side. Why? It is running on the command of Allah. Such a jannat, we cannot even imagine what a jannat Allah has created. Coming back to these verses, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا. One is that level of jannat. Literal translation, Allah is above all this. This is just for our understanding, literal translation. One level of jannat Allah describes in the Quran, then Allah Himself, سَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Saqi, the one who will give you to drink will be Allah Himself. شَرَابًا تَهُورًا, the pure, beautiful drink of Jannat. إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. This is the recompense, this is the return. Allah says, we are very, very appreciative of your qurbani and sacrifice. Allama Tastari, Tarbiyat, seeds were planted at the age of 3. This is now he is an adult, reading Tahajjud Salah. Person behind him in Salah, when he reaches this verse, hears a suckling noise. He starts making a suckling noise, like how a little child suckles when a child drinks. After the Salah, this person asked him, that what was that suckling noise that you were making? He said, did you hear that? He said, yes. He said, since you are insisting, I will tell you. By the qasam, by the oath of my Allah, when I read these verses that Allah will give me to drink of the pure drink of Jannat, I could taste the drink of Jannat in my salah. I could taste the drink of Jannat in my salah. This is when the correct tarbiyat is made. This is the noor of hidayat. That noor which we have to beg Allah for, which we have to strive for. When the reality of Quran will come, when that reality of that noor, Allah's azmat, that is a requirement. Complete conviction in the Quran, that is a requirement. Following the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is a requirement. Adab and etiquette for our asatiza, those from whom we acquire the knowledge of Quran. Adab and etiquette of our parents. That is a requirement. Abstention from major sins. These are requirements. Time is limited. I'm not going into the details, my respected brothers, just to culminate. Like we heard in the beginning, this is a very, very Mubarak gathering. The gathering of the completion of the Quran. This nisbat, this association with the Quran, there is nothing in this world that can compare with it. This is a great treasure, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to become Hafizul Quran, one is to be blessed with the Quran, one is to be associated with the Quran. More importantly, my respected brothers, is for this association to stay with us right up till mort and death. Leave the world with the Quran. Leave the world with the Quran. For that, we are encouraged. We are encouraged to make effort to stay in the environment of deen, environment of masjid, strive in the path of Allah, in the dawat of Quran, connect ourselves with the people of Quran, keep the company of the people of Quran. These are different instruments which we can use, by which inshallah Allah will protect this very, very Mubarak and very special nisbat and association of the Quran. At the time of the khatam of Quran, Sahih riwayat, it is mentioned, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever the completion of Quran used to draw near, he used to gather his entire family for the completion, for the khatam of the Quran, because he would say at that time, du'as are accepted. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, baqaida, he used to send somebody into Masjid al-Nawawi, look around who is reaching completion of Quran. With his students and companions, he would go to that person and sit with them to attend the completion of the Quran and attend that dua. Because Sahaba would say, this is narrated by many Sahaba, that at the time of the completion of Quran, du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have run out of time. There are just two things I want to reiterate. If we take nothing else, at least take these two things. MashaAllah, there are many, many huffaz. There are many of us that have the shauk and desire to learn the Qur'an and acquire the knowledge of Qur'an. Understand basic requirement from inside. Every one of us make this niyat that through the barakat of the Qur'an, from now till I die, 5 times salah with jamaat in the masjid, say inshallah. And second thing, we find, my respected brothers, Allah's fazl, hifz of Qur'an has become widespread. This is a great blessing, great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a miracle of the Qur'an. Unfortunately, if we are not careful, when something becomes very widespread, it reaches sometimes a level of what we call riwaj and custom. My Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uridat alayya dhunub ummati." He said, Allah showed me the repercussion of the sins of my ummat. Mafhum of the riwayat, he said, I didn't come across any repercussion and azab that was worse than the one who forgot the Quran. So when something becomes a ritual, unfortunately, many instances, the azmat and the value of it comes out. If we look in the life of our akabirin, our Salafi Salihin, Mawlana Siddiq Bandwi, Rahmatullah Ali, and other akabirin, and this is something I don't want, particularly those of us who are starting to do hifz, those of us that are doing hifz, those of us that are completing hifz, don't take this lightly. When you have signed up for this, when you have attached yourself, made this determination, Ya Allah, I want to become hafiz. Requirement of this, our akabirin tell us, is minimum, every day 3 juz of the Qur'an. 3 paras every day, otherwise in reality you are not hafiz. If you want to be hafiz, or even be considered as a hafiz, you want the nur, there is such nur in this, there is such shifa in this, there is such protection in this, there is softening of the heart in this, there is protection from all sorts of calamities in this. There are so many benefits we can't even imagine. Make this determination. If your door is kaccha, is weak, no problem. You don't have to read 3 different paras. Read whatever you can manage. If you can only manage 1 quarter, read the quarter 12 times. But every day, like you eat, and like you drink, and like you sleep, if you are hafiz, 3 para minimum, say inshallah. 3 para minimum every day. Get into the habit. Set your time. You can be walking, talking, going somewhere, driving, going job, going school, going anywhere. Find the time. If you're a good hafiz, it won't take more than 1 hour. But give the Quran that time. This is a demand. This is a demand and a dictate, and this will protect your Quran. No matter how weak your door is, don't worry about that. But make this determination, inshallah, and ask Allah, beg from Allah, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq. From today, if you are hafiz, or you're planning to start hifz, or you're doing hifz, this is the minimum requirement. Minimum requirement. Non-hufaz, we say, if you can read Quran fluently, 1 para. But hafiz a Quran, and this is the nisab of tabligh also, hafiz a Quran, from now till I die, inshallah, every day 3 juz of the Quran. Say inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq.